Commodity broker Gordy Kulov with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, we had the USDA report this last week, all sorts of export sales, but yet it would still seem like it was kind of a ho-hum week.
It really was a ho-hum week when you get right down to it, when you looked at kind of the market action and everything. And, you know, we had some weakness early and then a little bit of rebound late. And, you know, the big loser was the wheat down 5 days in a row this week and the bean oil. And again, I'm not really sure exactly why necessarily those are the ones that have to get pummeled so badly. The bean oil, the story seems to be that, you know, we got the biofuel mandates, and most of the commentary seems to revolve on the fact that the biodiesel was a more friendly input from the EPA than the ethanol was more friendly than the biodiesel. I haven't heard anybody say, oh, they're not going to use it. They just, one was more friendly. And so they basically came in and just sort of slammed the bean oil. And again, even if the EPA had said, we're not going to use, you know, biodiesel at all, just about everybody else in the world has said, we're going to be using more of it. You've got Brazil saying that they're going to be using 6 million metric tons more beans for crushing this year, mostly to get at the biodiesel. So the rest of the world is saying, yeah, we're going for it. So it seems like they're really overstating and overreacting to some of this. And, you know, this week was just kind of a little bit of this, a little bit of that kind of thing. And, of course, there was a lot of worry about the crop report, and it really wasn't all that negative. And the wheat was called a little negative, but, again, it had been down for a couple of days before that. So once we got the report out of the way, there really wasn't a whole lot of reaction after that.
I would have thought that the inflation number maybe would have had more of an impact. We popped a little bit and then just kind of fizzled.
Yeah, and again, the inflation number showed more inflation than what the market was counting on. So in an era where people are worried about inflation, I would have thought that would have had a whole lot more respect. And the markets did bounce off the report, but then they just sort of sat there. If you look at a chart of silver, there's a big spike up on the intraday chart, and then it sort of just drifted off. I mean, it's holding at the upper end of the band, but it's not doing anything. It just sort of stuck there. And that seems to be kind of where we're headed for a lot of this stuff. We're just, and today's a weird day, though. I mean, the volume is extremely low. I mean, at the end of the day, only about 74,000 contracts of March corn. I mean, we call that a slow day when we get that number at lunch. And, you know, it's going to the end of the day. And I just think a lot of traders are just standing on the sidelines wondering, where do we go next? You know, there's a lot of questions about how much inflation is really out there, how long will it last, how is the Fed going to react to all of this? And I just think a lot of traders with some really big money to play with are just sort of sitting on the sidelines, not sure which way to bet. I mean, one day it looks like inflation is a real big deal. Then the next day it looks like, well, maybe COVID's going to slow the world economy down a whole lot again. And then it's back to a good economy and great earnings. So I think a lot of traders are just taking a couple of days off to wait and see where it goes. And, you know, that's kind of the good news, I guess, long term is, you know, when markets kind of go sideways like this, money sort of piles up on the sidelines. And then when it does start to move, you have a lot of money chasing it. And I think, you know, right now it sure looks like inflation is a thing. It looks like it's there, it's real, and it's building. So it's going to be hard to picture this thing kind of just backing off and disappearing. So, and then the other one is, like, as far as grains go, it's still turning warmer and drier in South America. Our wheat still has issues. The European wheat, Black Sea wheat, has issues. So, you know, until we get next year's crop out of the bin, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, make a case for wheat dropping dramatically here. So there's a lot of positive news out there for grains. It's just a matter of, in the short term, nobody seems to know what to do with it.
I was talking to a farmer in southwestern Minnesota, unit train after unit train, heading from southwestern Minnesota to the western coast with corn and beans. Another one I know of in southern Minnesota is on the right rail line, unit train after unit train of corn going to Alberta, Canada. And I was thinking, you ship a couple million bushels of corn to Alberta, that doesn't show up in any reports because it's within North America.
Right. It'll show up on the Census Bureau numbers, but not on the weekly export shipments because it's not. Those are inspections, and that's not inspected. And the same with Mexico. You know, Mexico buys a lot of corn, and so you'll see it on the export sale, but it never seems to show up on the export inspections because, you know, it's NAFTA. And again, it depends on how it gets there, but most of it's not inspected. So, you know, it kind of sort of slips under the radar. And again, Vancouver's been kind of shut down. They've had massive rain, and their ports have been kind of cut off from the rest of the country, which is going to slow down their exports, and that probably gives us a little bit of bump here, too. Just like I said, just whatever we're looking at, it's a decent demand story. It's just a matter of, in the short run, nobody's really paying much attention to anything right now. You know, same with South American weather. It's pretty positive right now, and the forecast looks kind of positive going forward. Our forecast is really similar to what we had last winter, you know, kind of a warmer, generally drier pattern going into December. And, you know, that's kind of what we did last year. So there's a La Nina out in the Pacific. Weather patterns are kind of similar to what we had this year. One big difference, though, is a lot of guys are saying their subsoil moisture after this year is completely depleted. There's not much there. And we're going to need to have a pretty good, moist spring to recharge that. But if we have the same weather pattern we had a year ago, that may not be in the cards. So a lot of ifs between here and next year's record-setting crops.
The other thing that maybe helped a bit this week, too, was we weren't so fixated on the dollar this week, it seemed.
Well, we started kind of fading away on a few things. I mean, the dollar doesn't seem to be as big a market mover as it used to be. I think they're more worried about all kinds of other things. And again, I don't know if the dollar is perceived as being rock solid here. If all of a sudden the Federal Reserve moves and the European Central Bank does something else, suddenly the European Central Bank, might make the euro way more attractive or something. There are a lot of what-ifs out there right now, and that's why a lot of people are waiting to see how it goes. I mean, all these central banks are going to make moves or maybe not make moves. And suddenly, and again, an interest rate move of 0.25% or 0.5% to you and me is irrelevant. Our credit card company is not going to do much to us. But if you're a hedge fund or a billionaire or one of these multinationals borrowing money at virtually 0%, the move from 0.25% to 0.5% or 0.5% to 0.75%, it's a substantial percentage increase. And when you tack that onto inflation, a lot of projects are suddenly becoming a little bit more iffy. And so they really want to see low interest rates to keep that going. At the same time, if inflation starts getting a hold, the longer we fight it, the worse it's going to be. The only problem is, as we've learned during the last round of inflation in the late 70s, early 80s, raising interest rates does not slow down inflation. All it does is everybody just raises their interest rates to match, and it just keeps spiraling higher. And, I think the problem is you need to kind of rein in spending, in effect, slow down the money supply growth, but we forgot how to do all that stuff. And so that kind of makes me think inflation is going to get worse before it gets better.
In the livestock this last week.
Same old story in the livestock. A lot of my cash guys are kind of calling me up every day going, do you have any real information of what's going on? You look at the market action, and there's not a whole lot. I mean, we finished off last week halfway okay, kind of a sideways deal. And then this week, just about every day, the cattle have slow, steady, grind lower. Nothing shocking on any given day, but they just sort of work their way downhill. And what's interesting is there's a 30-day moving average. If you pull up a chart of like Feb cattle and use a 30-day moving average, it's uncanny how spectacular that's been in predicting where the market's going to go. If I would just had paid attention to that and trusted it every time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now because I'd be retired in the Bahamas somewhere. It's been almost spot on. And yesterday and today, that was the low for trading cattle. The Feb cattle bounced off of that both days. And going into the week, the cash cattle market seems fairly positive. I'm hearing from guys saying that they're paying up for them and whatnot. And yet the charts look like it's about to roll over. And if we punch through that moving average, there's a fair amount of downside here. And, but every time we've hit this, going back into early October when we bounced over it, every time we've hit this moving average, we've bounced. So, going home on Friday here, it's kind of a twofer. If we break a little bit lower on Monday, there's a chance cattle could break quite a chunk. The last time they took that moving average out in September, cattle were trading about 138.25, and in 2 weeks, they bottomed at 129.60. So they had a pretty decent-sized break there, and then it went sideways for about a month before they broke back out. So cattle are going to be an interesting deal, but I guess, if you want to go with the way of the bet, every time we've hit this moving average, they bounced, and we'll see if they kind of do that again. As for the hogs, sort of the same story, but kind of inverse. They broke down all week, and on Wednesday, though, they rebound. They hit kind of the lows of the trade range, and they bounced pretty hard. Yesterday, they were up 177 points. Today, they were up 320, and now they're back over the 30-day moving average. So as the cattle go into the weekend looking kind of wimpy, the hogs kind of break out, have a big spike up, and close over some important technical indicators, looking like there might be some follow-through in the next week to the upside. So, you look at the hog chart, whereas the cattle have been kind of in an uptrend following its moving average, hogs have been in a giant trade range going back into January, or I should say June at least. But all the way back into January, they've been kind of in this range, and we just bounced off the low. And every time they bounced off the low, we tend to rally at least into the mid-80s. So you go home with the hogs thinking there might be some more follow-through to the upside next week.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovits in the Afternoon Farm News was sponsored by Kibble Equipment in Owatonna for all your John Deere equipment parts and service. Also, Northern Farm Systems in Owatonna, an authorized dealer of Gale, Coon, Coyote, Mustang, and more.